This is the Legacy Minded Leadership Podcast, and we're your hosts, James and Maria Collins.
We are on a mission to help you answer the divine call in your life, to experience transformation for God's glory, and to advance His kingdom.
The world needs more people who are confident in their identity and are living intentionally to fulfill their life's mission.
Your legacy depends on you leading yourself well and taking action towards a clear vision for your life.
Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will."
We are here to help you renew your mind so you can stop chasing the things of this world and start living a purpose-driven life that is uniquely yours.
We want you to experience abundance in all areas of your life, but it's not just about you. It's about leaving a legacy that endures far beyond your time on earth.
God has entrusted you with unique gifts. You get one life to use those gifts to leave a lasting impact for generations to come.
Your legacy begins now. Welcome back to the Legacy Minded Leadership Podcast. We're James and Maria, your hosts, and today we've got a great episode for you all about your first ministry and discipling your kids.
Yes, your first ministry is your family.
That's right. So today we're going to talk about how important it is and how to cultivate an environment that is conducive to spiritual growth within your family.
I love that. So can we start saying a little bit of what does it mean in the Bible to disciple others?
Yeah, so to make disciples is all about sharing the gospel, and it's about teaching other people what Christ says about himself, about how to lead yourself well, how to cultivate a relationship with God, how to live the right way according to godly principles. That's what making a disciple is about, teaching others the word of God and how to cultivate that personal relationship with God.
Yes, I love that. We're going to also start with the verse 1 Timothy 3:4-5, where the Bible says, "He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church?" And this verse is coming out of a contest of, they were talking about a position for a person to have a position in a church.
Yeah, the leaders of the church.
Yes. So, right, the leaders of the church, that's your first ministry, right? First, you practice and you develop your skills of discipling other people in your own home. Mm-hmm. And then you're qualified to come to the church and serve and lead others into the same steps.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so important. We talk about leading yourself well first, and then once you learn to lead yourself well, then you're qualified to lead others. But that starts with the people that are right here in your own home.
That are going to challenge you the most.
Yeah. For men, it's about leading your wives well, and then it's about leading your children well. And I think that's an area where a lot of Christians that I talk to in the different ministries that we're a part of, men especially, they tend to struggle with this. I think most of the time, the women in the relationships usually have a much stronger relationship with God. They spend more time in the Word. They spend more time in prayer. Men struggle with that for some reason. And then they struggle leading their families from a spiritual standpoint. They struggle ministering to their families because they just don't know how to do it. I relate it back to this season. I'm coaching Noah's soccer team, and I coached Zoe's last year, but I still don't feel like I know what I'm doing coaching soccer. I never played the sport. So all I know about how to coach soccer is what I've seen others do, a few YouTube videos that I've watched, or just figuring it out as I go. And as we were preparing for this episode, that came to my mind because I felt like, man, this is how other people must feel when it comes to ministering to their family, ministering to their kids. if you haven't built up your own faith, if you haven't spent time developing your own relationship with God, if you're not getting into the Word on a regular basis and really understanding it for yourself, I'm sure there's going to be a hesitation or fear attached to ministering to anybody else or trying to teach the Word of God or teach how to live, you know, like a godly life to somebody else when you don't feel like you're an expert on that yourself.
But I think you did so well coaching those teams, because here your skills, not as a soccer player, but as a coach, as a leader. First of all, you know yourself. You know your weaknesses and you know your strengths. So you utilized your strengths in the best way you could to help them to play as a team, to know their gifts and use their gifts by positioning them in the right positions and knowing who they are and how they play well, and bring them all together as a team to go out there and have fun, win their game and do their best, right? And you always cheering them up and helping them and celebrating all the little wins that they would do it. That's what it makes a coach, right? It is important to know the game, but you didn't know the game, but you came, like you were saying, right? Because you know who you are. And that's the point for here, you knowing who you are and you knowing who God says you are. You have a strong relationship with the Lord. That's how you can disciple others. Mm-hmm. Because you're spending time in the world, in His Word, and you know what the Word says. And in different situations, and you have the presence of the Holy Spirit to give you the wisdom and the discernment for different situations, that's how you can disciple your family.
Yeah, and you may be listening to Maria describe that about me and be thinking to yourself, well, I don't have those things, right? Or I don't feel like I'm very strong in some of those areas. And that's okay too. What this is about and what we want to encourage the listeners to do today is just understand that everything, you've got to start somewhere, right? And the point is starting to get intentional about what you're doing with your family and the type of environment that you're creating and cultivating around them. And if you're listening to this podcast, I think we're 15 episodes in. If you're listening to us at this point, you're likely a Christian, because a lot of what we teach and talk about is related to our beliefs and our values in Christianity. But what I would encourage you is take stock of where you're at now and just start wherever you are and understand that they're creating that environment for your house and for your children. And it's not just about in your house. We'll talk later about that, but it's about creating an environment around your children that is pointing them toward the truth, pointing them toward Christ and toward a Christian lifestyle and Christian values and the Word of God. And again, cultivating that individual personal relationship with God. That's of utmost importance, for Christians, and especially for your kids. You know, the word, I think we shared this last week as well, in Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And again, the most important thing to teach your kids is to develop that personal relationship with God, to understand God's word, understand, you know, what God says about who you are and about how you should live.
And what are you saying, just to backtrack a little bit, what you're saying about if you're not there yet, if you don't feel like you're qualified, go back to the beginning of the first episodes of this podcast. This podcast episodes, it builds up and it helps you to become qualified, to build confidence, to understand who you are and who God says you are. Because you are qualified. If God gave you children, it's because He trusts you to be the best parent that those kids need. and you can and you will. It might take a little bit of work, but it's possible.
Yeah, that's amazing. Good. So, I mean, even when you think back in the early church, it wasn't a single community building where everybody gathered. The early church was people gathering in their homes and inviting other families over. But it started with ministering to your own family and then inviting other families over and small groups of people gathering at people's homes. That was the early church.
And that's when you can become connected with people. Remember when we start going to ELC and it's such a big church and we weren't connected. I remember we having the conversation of you're saying, this is too big. Like, we don't know anybody here. And I said, let's connect with small groups. And then we started going to the marriage group on Wednesday and we found one of, you know, all of our best friends today were because we decided to step in and go with more intimate with other people because you need a community, right? You need people like-minded to come alongside with you. God says we all need other people around us. We can't live alone. That's not good. It's not healthy. That's when depression and the enemy will play with your mind. That's why you need the word of the Lord and you need the right people surround you to help you stay consistent and focused. And with your family, that means you will have other parents that can speak into your kids mm-hmm. when they're different ages and you're not surrounded, that they will listen to other people's kids grow up, right? And when you're a teenager, we talked about this in the last episode, your parents know nothing suddenly. If you have those parents surrounding your family that will be able to speak the truth over them in a different way that they will be willing and open to hear what they're saying, that is so important, so valuable, and that will help your children so much. But you are the first spiritual voice into your children's life.
Yeah, and being that spiritual voice, and again, cultivating an atmosphere where it's God-centered, God-focused, and discipling to your kids is so important for several reasons. There's a lot of benefits to making this a central focus for your family, not the least which is teaching your child the importance of obedience. And as parents, one of the things that we want most is for our kids to obey us. And there's so much about the word of God and tying into obedience to our Father in heaven. And that it's an easy translation when you start teaching these stories to your children. It's an easy translation to translate and help them understand obedience to God being relevant to obedience to their parents.
Yeah. Well, one of the Ten Commandments is honor your parents, right? So if you do it right according to the principles from the Bible, your kids will learn to listen, to obey, to honor, to respect, and to act properly.
We did some research in preparation for this episode as well, and there are a couple of pieces of research that I just want to share because, again, it highlights the importance of discipling to your children. The first comes from a Pew Research Center report that they did a survey that basically where parents across the board, they tied passing on their religious beliefs to their children and noting that parents saw this as beneficial both for moral grounding with their children, but also for emotional support, which obviously is critical for handling life's challenges. You know, one of the things we talked about a little bit earlier is not just focusing on creating discipleship in your home, but creating an environment around your children where they're constantly surrounded by the values, the principles, the morals that you support. And like you were talking about, our kids' best friends are kids from our church. They're kids of families that we're close to because we've handpicked these families and we've grown close to families that have kids around the same age as ours. And to the point that you made earlier, we can trust that when our kids are at one of these families' homes and we're not there, we know the same values and principles are going to be supported. They're going to hear the word of God over there just like they would here. They're going to be held accountable to the same morals and standards as we would hold them accountable to in our own home.
Yeah, we have also a group of neighbors right now that they're very great and the kids love to play together, and they also have the beliefs and the morals that we have. So that helps a lot too.
So the other piece of research that I wanted to share is from, it's a Harvard research study that was done that found that children that are raised in religious or spiritual environments are better protected from adolescent risks such as depression and substance abuse. So they actually tied regular attendance at religious services like church and personal practices like prayer and reading the Bible and linked those to lower risks for depression, lower risk for alcohol or drug abuse, and tied them to more positive outcomes like more happiness and having a stronger sense of community. And one of the important things that I think came out of that was tying it back to forgiveness. So kids that were raised and in a religious environment more often were much more forgiving of others.
Yeah, because that's what the Bible talks about. And I like what you said, one of the studies that said they will face challenges in a different way, right? Because the Bible says life is not going to be easy, but what it says is that God's going to be with you no matter what.
That's right.
So that will give them the strength to know that they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them.
Yep. And then one of the other reasons that this is so important is raising your kids to abide in God's promises ensures divine protection over them. You know, the Bible talks about in Psalm 91, 10 through 11, it says, "No evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go." And the Bible actually talks about children having guardian angels. And when you cultivate that relationship and you make God first in your life and you're living by godly principles, that's one of the promises of God, is that no evil will conquer you. It's divine protection that you're calling in over your family by teaching that to your children and by making God first in your own home.
Yeah. Also, when it comes to that, bringing the environment and making your house and helping your kids to have that relationship with the Lord, that helps, right, what the Bible says about fulfilling the Great Commission, that to spread the gospel, right, like you were saying at the beginning, and that always starting at your home, right, and you will influence generations to come. And in Matthew 28:19-20, it says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, in teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." So that's so good that, you know, it tells you that go baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teach them, right? Because when you baptize, that's the first step. You just made a decision to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but then the walking into his word, walking in his commandments and in the covenant that you were making with the Lord, that's a whole nother story. That's a whole nother level of hardness.
Yeah. So let's talk about how we cultivate that relationship, how we disciple to our kids. And what I want to share first and foremost is the importance of feeding your own growth. We've got to lead by example as parents. We talked about this in the last episode as well. Our kids will do and mimic what we do, not necessarily what we say. And so if you're struggling with cultivating that environment for your own home, or you're struggling with how to disciple your kids, start by being a disciple yourself. Make sure that you have godly influences in your own life. Make sure that you've got pastors or mentors who are spiritually mature that you're learning from. Make sure that you're spending time in prayer. Make sure that you're spending time reading the word yourself. And that's where it starts. It starts by leading yourself well.
It starts by creating those habits. We talked about that in a whole episode of how to create some habits.
And it's funny how all this comes together, isn't
it? It's all pre-planned to pile up together. But that's why we talked about those things individually before. Now we're bringing like, okay, you're supposed to be doing this for yourself. Now you're going to teach your family how to everybody do this together. And creating those habits will be good for you so you can lead yourself well, but also show your children how is it done and start seeding in them and feeding them on how to do those things. Mm-hmm. They wake up every morning, most of mornings, and where do they find me? In my office, sitting and reading my Bible. Mm-hmm. And they come in and they ask me, what are you doing, mommy? And I'll tell them, I'm here reading my Bible. They start coming and asking to read their Bible as well. And every night when we put them to bed, they want to read their Bible. Noah is specifically very vocal about, can we read the Bible? Mm-hmm. No matter what, sometimes it's late and we skip it, but he gets upset because he wants to read his Bible because we are leading by example.
Yeah. And then after they go to your office and see you reading your Bible, they come into the kitchen where I'm usually cooking breakfast, and there's worship music mm-hmm. playing in the kitchen. And they'll come in and ask for specific worship songs that they mm-hmm. like to listen to or like to sing along to, right? But that's one of the ways that you can cultivate that environment in your own home is incorporate worship into your daily routine.
Now you said that. I remember how old Noah was, but it was a season where I was listening. This is a House of Miracles mm-hmm. a lot. And I remember walking in the kitchen and hearing him talking to Google. Hey, Google, play This is a House of Miracle. And then Google start playing the song. Mm-hmm. I thought it was awesome.
Or they just walk around the house with no music playing. They'll walk around the house singing the lyrics to these songs. It's amazing. It always warms my heart to hear them singing along to the songs, or I'll hear them just humming, and I know which worship song they're humming to themselves, but I love that. It's confirmation for me every single time. It's like God patting me on the back saying, good job, Dad. You're doing it the right way.
Yes. And in the car, because I hear the worship radio playing all the time, Noah will sing some songs like, I don't know how to sing. And Zoe look at him like, how do you know this song? He knows
the words so well.
Yeah. That's so funny. But also, I remember a few months ago, Noah was out of school. So he was in the house with me and I was doing some fasting. So I was fasting at lunchtime. And fasting is not something that comes easy for me. And I remember having this conversation with you, like, how do you do it? And you're like, just instead of eating, go pray. I was like, oh my gosh, okay, let's try that. And he was in the house. So when it was lunchtime, I would say, Noah, I'm going to my office and I'm going to worship and I'm going to pray. And he said, can I come with you, mommy? I said, yes. And I just explained to him, I'm going to sing, I'm going to pray, and you can do whatever you want. And he followed with me. He did it with me. Every day of that week, he did the same thing. Like after a couple of days, he was the one asking, mommy, can we go to your office and sing and pray? And I was like, yes, of course we can. So like sometimes you don't even notice, but you just bring them along with you in your journey and understanding, right? This is my relationship with the Lord. I'm not afraid of showing you. Right. I'm not afraid, even sometimes when I'm sad or things are, frustrated and stuff like that, and I will cry. I usually go right away and turn a worship on, or I'll go and pray. And I tell them exactly what's happening. Mommy's not happy. I'm frustrated, but this is not how I want to act. And so I'm going to worship. I'm going to shift my mind and be grateful for all that God has for me.
Yeah. It's leading by example I think sometimes we try to hide our emotions or our feelings from our kids, and they need to see that. They need to see that their parents are human too, and we all go through those emotions, and you're modeling the right way to respond to that. When you were talking about like Noah in the car reciting lyrics or asking to go pray and worship with you, brings to mind last Wednesday night on our way home from church. Remember, he said, "Daddy, what does Jehovah Rapha mean?"
He couldn't say it right. And yeah, I was like, what? I can't remember
exactly how he said it, but we ended up pulling out of him Jehovah Rapha. And he's heard me say that so many times. And for those who don't know, God has many names in the Bible. One of the names that's given to him is Jehovah Rapha, which means the God who heals. And the Word of God says that when we call on his name, we'll have what we ask for. And so anytime one of our family members is feeling ill or hurt, I think he heard me praying over Zoe's arm because she hyperextended her elbow at gymnastics last week. And I was praying over her arm and I called on the name of Jehovah Rapha. And I've done that a few different times. He's heard that name several different times as I've prayed over them. And he came to us on the car ride home last Wednesday. What does that mean? What's Jehovah Rapha? And so I got an opportunity to explain to him what Jehovah Rapha is. And it's a name of God that we get to call on that has power and, you know, for healing. And it's little things like that that for us, it's second nature because we've developed this over time for our household. And we pray over our kids all the time. We pray out loud. We've ingrained these behaviors into how we lead our home. And that's why we're having this conversation tonight for our listeners to encourage them to do the same thing, because we didn't start there, but we're at a point now after years of living intentionally with our children and putting God first in our home. These are the fruits of that. It's getting to have conversations with a five-year-old about the name of God and how powerful that name is when we call upon it.
So there's always teaching moments, right? And I like to teach and I like to bring into them how to apply, how to have a relationship with the Lord. What's praying is, we usually say, is just talking to the Lord, right? So you just talk to him. He's always with you. But now I remember Zoe, right? Because I remember explaining to her that God, when we make mistakes, right, when we sin, all we have to do is repent and confess and then move away from it. And I remember a night we were laying in bed and she came in the room and she was very anxious and she's like, "Mommy, I need to confess something to you." And I said, "Yes, baby." What it was, and I don't remember what it was, but it was something that she did. Mm-hmm. And it had been a few days, and that was like, she was very uncomfortable with that. And she came and she confessed, and I said, "You repent from it." And then we prayed together, and then she was free from it. And I thought that was so amazing that I don't think she was 8, she was 7-year-old. Will be able to act that way and knowing that even though she made a mistake, that God loves us and all she needs to do is to confess and repent and walk away from it. I don't remember being that way at that age. I don't remember knowing that God, that first of all, I grew up Catholic, so I knew a different God than this friend God that I know now that loves me and, you know, and forgives me and saves me and all of that. So it's watching our kids and every time they do act something like that is just, my heart gets so warmed up and I'm so grateful for how God is using us to work through them and teach them, and they're going to be something.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, it's about having that open dialogue with your kids and encouraging open discussions about their faith, about their doubts, and about your spirituality. And that's what's led to these conversations with our kids, is we've had very open, honest conversations with our kids. They ask us questions and we give thoughtful answers, and we try to go back to the Word of God to answer these questions as best we can, using the Word of God to teach. And that's what we recommend for you, is start where you're at, have open dialogues with your family, with your kids especially. Incorporate worship in your house. It's as easy as throwing some worship music on in the background while you cook or clean. And then get into daily devotional. Spend time in the Word with your kids on a regular basis. We do it every night together. I put our kids to bed most nights, and I think we talked about this last week as well. I use a Bible app, two different Bible apps actually, because there's one that Noah prefers, there's one that Zoe prefers, and the kids get to interact with the app, and they get to learn a new Bible story every night, and then I spend time explaining to them, to the best of my ability at their level, what the Bible stories mean and how they can incorporate the learnings from that into their own lives, what it means for the relationships in their lives, what it means for them and how they act and react to things that happen to them in life. And, you know, that's how we teach our kids, through those, yes, those daily devotionals. And it teaches them the habit of getting into the Word every single day. It teaches them the habit of having worship on in the background.
And it helps us, because we always say we live by the principles from the Bible. So when we are disciplining our kids into something that they are not supposed to do, that they can't do, we always go back to our principles. You can't do this, or you shouldn't do this, because it's not aligned with our values. It's not aligned with our principles. It's not aligned with the Word of the Lord, what the Bible says. And then we explain what the Bible says about that circumstance, why we're not watching, why we're not seeing this. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we have been talking about a lot, especially with Zoe, and it's about magicians, it's about spells and all of those things. So we bring into her understanding that those are not according to the Lord. Mm-hmm. God is not okay with that.
Yeah, witchcraft and sorcery don't align with our exactly. values and our belief
so
system.
We don't do that. I don't want you watching certain things, because that's all they do. And if you keep seeing that, it's going to become normal to you, and you're going to think that it's okay to do that. Mm-hmm. And it's not. So those are, you know, conversations. And, you know,
and it's not easy, because all of her friends are watching these things, and she wants to be aware, and, you know, she wants to see the same things that all of her friends are watching. And, you know, we have to be steadfast in how we parent. We have to be steadfast in upholding the standards and the morals and the values that we hold true to.
Yes. And that will help them when they're out there in the world, that we can't be with them to protect them or to act for them or to tell them not to do certain things, that they will have the Holy Spirit that will nudge in them and help them to make the best decisions for them.
Yeah. And I think, you know, another key for folks listening to this right now is to just be realistic. And, you know, how you disciple your kids, what worship looks like, what daily devotionals or, you know, getting into the Word of God looks like in your home doesn't have to be another church service. It doesn't have to be formalized. It doesn't have to be, you know, you sitting down and preaching to your kids. It's, you know, be realistic with it and incorporate as much, you know, natural flow as you can. Like we said, a lot of these things that we've done over time is just for ourselves. Like, we want to have worship music playing because it helps you and I get through our day. And because of that, our kids are just naturally around it. And you're in the Word every morning in your office. I do that for myself as well, but I typically do that at different times throughout the day, so our kids don't see me reading the Bible as much. But we do it together every night. And again, it's about doing, you know, establishing those habits, but doing it in a natural way where it's not overly forced. And it's become part of our bedtime ritual, you know?
And make it fun. Make it fun for them. Whatever age they are at, make it understandable, make it fun, make it real. How can you apply those things with whatever they're doing in their life or the seasons they're going through it? I always talk to Zoe about making right decisions when she's not in the house. And like we have to talk to her before about situations and buying lunch and buying snacks and she wasn't allowed to. I think that was something that she confessed, buying things that she wasn't supposed to at school. And so just applying and helping them understand how can they be close to God, allow God, and most important, listen to the Holy Spirit speaking to them, because it's available to them. It will speak to them. They just gotta be sensitive to it. And it talking to Zoe is like, if you feel in your stomach that that's not right, it is not right. Mm-hmm. You should not be doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, like, just be smart about it. Get yourself a kid's Bible to read to your kids. Don't read the King James version of the Bible to your kids, because that's not going to work. I know very few adults who can read the King James version and actually understand what it's talking about.
I still like the Bible app that I read. I love, because you can just highlight the verse and then you can compare. Even better, they have a Portuguese version. So sometimes when I don't understand the words in English, I'll go to the Portuguese version. And I was like, oh, that makes sense now. So compare the versions and like make it easy for yourself too. Another thing I want to cover here is it doesn't matter what your past was. God doesn't care about your past. All he cares is that you made a decision to accept him in your life. And from now on, you are a new creation. Don't allow the lies of the enemy to hold you back from being your best version of a parent for your family and for your kids, the best leader for yourself, for your relationship, and for your kids, because of reminding of what you did in the past, the choices you made. If you have repent from it and ask for forgiveness, God is not holding you back on that. There is no guilt or shame on those mistakes you have made, because we were not perfect people. We have had our sins and our mistakes for many, many years, but I don't look back in those mistakes. I look forward to what God has for me. I look forward to the relationship that he is that I'm building with him, and all the goodness that he has in my life when I look around and see all the blessings that he have poured in my life, because I decided that I want to live my life for him.
Yeah. So the bad things that you've done in your past don't disqualify your future, but the good things you've done in the past don't exempt you from being a good steward in the future as well. It takes intentionality. It takes focus to choose who you're going to be, choose what kind of parent you're going to be, choose what kind of environment you're going to create in your home. And the last thing that I'll share as far as how to cultivate this for your family is put yourself and your children in the right environments consistently. If you're not going to church regularly, then start there. Because your children need to understand that, like, for our family, going to church on Sundays and Wednesday nights too is a standard. They understand Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, we're going to church. And it's not something that is negotiable. Like, this is just part of who we are. This is a big part of our lives and how we live them, is putting ourselves in those communities. Often the only times we miss is when we're traveling or we're sick.
And one time I heard this, and I don't remember where or from whom, but it was a saying that if something that wouldn't hold you back from going to work shouldn't hold you back from going to church. Some mornings we had to have this conversation when James would say, I'm tired, let's just watch from home. And I would say, nope, we shake it off. Drink some coffee, change your clothes, we're going to church. It's not it's not an if, it is a decision. We made it. So we hold each other accountable for those times that we might not feel like it. Those are especially the days you need to be at church.
Yeah.
If absolutely. You don't feel like it, you absolutely need to be there. You absolutely, there's something there for you that God is, there's a word, there's a worship there, you know, go for prayer, go after what's available for you there. Go put yourself out there and share the way you're feeling with your community, your family of choice, because they're there for you and they love you.
But well, and a lot of times it's not even about you. It's about what can you bring to that environment?
Yes.
Who needs you to pray over them? Who needs the spirit that you have in you to rub off on them a little bit? Who needs the wisdom that's inside of you that day to be poured out on them?
Yeah, that's right.
Good. All right, we're going to wrap it up there.
Yes.
Hope that this episode has been helpful for you. Just as a quick recap with some of the how. Just spend time, number one, leading by example. Make sure that you've got daily habits to cultivate a relationship with God for yourself. Make sure that you're getting into the Word daily. Make sure that you're praying daily. Make sure that you're worshiping and praising God on a regular basis. It starts with that. And then as you build those disciplines, start to do the same things with your family. Have daily devotions with your kids where you get into the Bible and do family prayers together, Bible studies together. Incorporate worship into your daily routine. Go serve together as a family. Be in your church environment. Pick and choose the families and the friends that your kids get to be around, because all of that is important. It's not just about the environment that you're creating in your own home. It's about the environments that you allow your children to go into.
Yes. And remember, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that they should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I want to leave you with that. Do the work. It's worth it.
Amen. Well, thanks for joining us again this week. We hope that you've enjoyed it and learned something. We hope you come back again next week. God bless.
See you next time.
Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you being here. If you enjoyed this episode, please review, like, subscribe, and share it with someone you think would benefit from it. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Legacy Minded Leadership on your preferred platform. You can also email us directly at legacymindedleadership@gmail.com. If you have any questions or if you're interested in learning more about individual coaching with me or Maria. Until next time, stay focused on your purpose and remember that God loves you and He has great plans for your life.